Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Good Soil Podcast, where the Word of God meets ears, minds, and hearts, and by His grace grows a great harvest. I'm Aaron Fesenmeyer, pastor of York Evangelical Free Church, right here at the crossroads of the Midwest, York, Nebraska. And I am so glad that you have decided to join me today. In the last episode, I highlighted some of the challenges that can come with reading the Bible, with hearing God's voice. But good news, we're in this together, and the challenges that we all face can be overcome. So let's hopefully today provide some strategies for moving forward. We bring assumptions, preconceived beliefs, and ideas to everything in our lives, especially when it comes to reading God's Word. The question is whether those assumptions are good assumptions or bad ones. And I mentioned in the last episode some bad ones, but here we'll need to start with at least allowing for the possibility of some good assumptions. First, we need to assume that when God wrote a book, He wrote it to a human audience. In other words, He intended it to be clear and understandable. Theologians call this the perspicuity of Scripture, and you can use that word if you need to with your friends as a way to impress them at York Fest this year. We can all be tempted to over-spiritualize the Word of God, believing it's so mystical, so otherworldly and abstract that we can't possibly understand it, or that what it means doesn't affect or stoop into our day-to-day dirt and grime. So we leave it and tend to leave it to pastors or priests, you know, the really holy people, to do the understanding for us. Well, and as you might know, that's partly how cults start, where the masses can't understand, so the supposed special knowledge is held by a few elite initiates who keep the masses from understanding. That's not Christianity at all. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christians, let's not be culty. Let's not think how the world thinks about the Word of God. But let's instead know that God has given His Word to be understood by children, teens, adults, those who are mechanical pencils sharp, and those of us who are some of the dullest crayons in the box. The Word of God is for people, us. As well, what do we assume about how we grow as we read God's Word? Visible growth in a person's life can be instantaneous, but that's rarer than a COVID-free county these days. We must assume a long-haul perspective with the Word of God. It's true, God cares about every moment of every day of our lives, but His longer aim for us is eternity with Him. He wants us to grow up, spiritually speaking, and get equipped for handling this life's challenges with Him, and getting equipped for the adventures of the one to come. And that takes time. When it comes to hard things in the rest of life, we tackle them all the time, sometimes by necessity or we really want to. You learned to walk, for instance, by developing muscles steadily over time and coordination in your body. And then you finally did it. You finally took that first step and everyone was so excited and you fell flat on your face. You may have cried a bit, but hopefully mom or dad came over, made sure you were okay, dusted you off, and encouraged you to do it again. And you did. And today, you may not have thought about how hard it was to walk and at what time it took and coordination it took to walk. You might not have thought of that for a long time. We learn new skills, hard skills, over time. We learn to appreciate different things over time. And the same is true with the Bible, with God's Word. So, what do you do if you run across something in the Bible that just makes you go, huh? I have tons of those moments, and I really hope I'm not the only one, and I'm saying this thinking that I'm not the only one. So I want to commend to you a couple tools to put in your tool belt for that huh moment, or those huh moments when they come up as you read God's word. Get a Bible with some margins of space along the sides of the actual words. And when you run across something you don't understand, just make a note. Put a question mark or something there. And then just keep reading. Or if you have a digital Bible, oftentimes there's a note-taking feature that you can use. Or get a notepad or journal to keep with your Bible to write your thoughts or questions down as you go along. Or if you're doing the audio Bible version, just make sure you're not doing this while you're driving, okay? Jot down some thoughts or questions about what you heard. You can also talk with other believers about what you're hearing. That's really biblical. And I really want to encourage all of us to do this as we read together, to talk with each other about what we're reading. You can make this as simple or as complex as you want. I vote for simple, but that's just me. Make it work for you, and it will help you not get bogged down. Next, how do we counteract distraction and busyness? All of our lives are affected by this. Today, I'm not going to give you any silver bullets. Scripture says that's just worthless superstition anyway. But the one counteraction that I've seen consistently work for people is to make reading God's word, being in God's word, like going camping, or a hobby, or after school practice, or getting to work on time. You make time for it. We all make time for what we value. And I'm going to say this as gently as I can, because I can't possibly know all of your life circumstances, but I do know this. God has given each of us enough time each day to do His will. And part of His will for each of us is to hear Him speak and for us to be in His Word, even if that's just for a few minutes. Where is that in your day? Where can that be in your day? I don't know about you, but for me, oftentimes that time can be spent on distractions. How do we counteract distraction? I'm no expert on distraction-free living, but I can say that we must develop and ask God to help us with the discipline to do it. It takes discipline to read God's word consistently. Bottom line, you're going to be presented with a choice every time you go to read the word of God, to hear Him or take care of something else. And it's going to take discipline, a good and possible thing, to choose to read God's word. Other distractions are just the reality of other people in the house. If you have kids, especially younger kids, they really are a blessing from the Lord. Let's get that clear. They really are. But the idea that's popular out there of a quiet time with the Bible and a cup of coffee sitting in your favorite chair in some peace and quiet can frankly seem like finding a dancing unicorn at the end of the rainbow. It just doesn't exist. And I'm not going to tell you to neglect your kids. I'm not going to tell you how to parent here, but I want to offer some suggestions. Try grabbing that time to read the Bible while the kids are outside or at school or while you're waiting to pick them up. Or you can do the reverse. You can involve them in some of the reading. You could do some of this falls reading around the dinner or breakfast table. It's a great idea and a great way to bring families together in the scriptures. Or statistically, it's dads. Dads, I'm talking to you, dads. If your wife can't read the Bible because she's wrangling kids all day, make yourself one of the most godly men on the planet and do something else with the kids for a half an hour when you get home so your wife can have some time in the Word. Your wife will appreciate you, and you will know all sorts of blessing from a spouse who is in the Word of God. And vice versa, wives. If your husband is cranking through the toil of the day and hasn't yet had time to get into the Word, see how you might be able to open up a half hour of the day or evening for him to do that. He will be grateful for you, and you, I promise you this, you will be amazed at what God can do with a husband who daily listens to his King and his Father in heaven. I mentioned the family and how husbands and wives can support each other, how kids can be involved, but I want to make it more explicit. It's not because I'm clever that we're doing this together as a church. We're doing this together because it's built in protection and encouragement to keep going. Our challenges to being in God's Word, to hearing His voice will come, but we can face them better together. The United States military uses the buddy system. And frankly, that's very scriptural. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12 says this, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." Perseverance is a team effort. In the body of Christ, the church, there are individuals. We've each been uniquely gifted for building up the body. And we should celebrate that God has made you with your gifts. He has made me with my gifts. He has made others with their gifts. And that we should praise God, we're not all exactly alike. But we should also never think that God intends us to live individualistically. That is, living on our own, for ourselves, without support, pulling ourselves up by our own spiritual bootstraps. No, we're meant to live it together, and that means the same with our spiritual lives. They are to be lived with the church, not outside of the people of God, and they are to be supported and encouraged with the people of God, not apart from them. There is no Lone Ranger Christianity. And that's true when we're going through the New Testament together. So let me know, let us know as a church that you're doing this with us so we can all support each other. Did you catch that last phrase of Ecclesiastes? A threefold cord is not quickly broken. There's more than just you and the church when it comes to reading God's Word. And this is the most important tool you and I can have, apart from a Bible in our hands. It's God Himself, specifically our communication channel we have to Him through Jesus Christ, prayer. One of the reasons we don't understand the Scriptures is because it's a book that God wants us to understand. Wait, what, Aaron? He wants us to understand it so it's hard to understand? Yes, let me tell you why. He wants us to understand it by coming to Him with it. If we engage the Scriptures apart from the God who breathed them out, 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says, the God who breathed them out through human authors carried along by the Holy Spirit, as 2 Peter 1 verse 21 says, we will not understand them correctly. Our aim in reading is not just to mark off pages and chapters we've read. It's to know a person, the triune God who made us, who sent His Son. So how do we come to Him with His Scriptures? We pray. We talk with Him about His Word. We ask Him for help. Even more important than writing a question mark in your Bible when you read something you don't get is to pray, God, help me understand. I don't get this. Open my eyes. Help me to see. Help me to see your Son, Jesus. I now ask God's help every time I open His Word because I know there is so much I don't understand. And I also know how much I get distracted if I don't come to Him for help. So that's the best tool I can offer. Actually, God offers it in His Word. Pray your way through your reading of God's Word. It does not mean you'll instantaneously understand everything, but you'll be in a posture where you will understand. either now or in the future. And when you do, when you have those aha moments, you can praise Him who reveals His good word to His people. Thank you for listening to the Good Soil Podcast. I'm looking forward to reading the Bible with you. Remember, as we get started this weekend, keep reading. Even if you don't get to the whole day's reading, keep reading. In the next episode, I'll hopefully introduce the first book in the New Testament, the Gospel according to Matthew, that will be starting on September 13th. I will talk with you then, Lord willing. And until then, may God reap a great harvest in our midst as His word grows in good soil.